Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on Credit Card Rewards Travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin. It's time for another episode of Wonderland on Points, and we are so glad that you have found us. We're glad you're here. Today, we are talking about an all-inclusive resort in Cancun, the Hyatt Vivid Grand Island. This resort is barely over a year old at this point. It is still shiny and new, and we have all the details because, Joanna, you just spent 6 incredible nights there.
The best 6 nights, 7 days of my life. Look, I know that we have a lot of mom listeners. If you are a mom, if you keep people alive and take care of them as part of the main part of your existence, all inclusives were made for you. Yeah. Somebody else makes your bed. Somebody else feeds you. Somebody else does the dishes. You don't have to make any decisions if you don't want to, besides like pool or ocean, rooftop or deck, tacos or Italian.
Think those are some decisions I could handle.
It is magic. It is pure magic. And this place blew my expectations out of the water. They brought it.
And this was extra special because you and your husband have been together for what, 12 years now?
12 years.
12 years. And you love to travel, obviously. You know, you host a travel podcast. But if listeners have been hanging around for a little while, heard some of our earlier episodes, you may know that most of your travel happens with your daughter, with your mom, with your brother. But your husband actually has a healthy dose. Well, I don't know how healthy, but has a significant dose of airplane anxiety, flight anxiety. And so you guys have actually, until now, never taken a flight together.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was why this was such a huge deal. We have been road trip only people. We have been weekend warriors, not going very far. The last big trip that we took, just the two of us, was a road trip to New Orleans when we were about 1.5, 2 years in. So that was a decade ago. So it was time. And obviously, all the time, I'm trying to work on him with the, come on, just try it. I bet it's not as bad as you remember. To be fair, he did look up some YouTube videos to show me the type of flight turbulence that he experienced. And when I saw it versus just hearing about it, I also would really need to go to therapy to get back on another flight. I mean, these are the kinds of situations where everybody is crying and screaming because they all believe that they are going to die. These videos are scary. And if I had ever seen those prior to getting on an airplane, I probably would have thought twice about getting on an airplane. Luckily, I have flown a ton and I've never experienced that. And so I was like, you know, I don't think that's normal. And we're just going to hold hands and pray that that's not how it goes. And when he finally agreed and said, okay, I'll try it, because I was able to find these direct flights from St. Louis to Cancun. It was only about 3 hours. It was a really good, bite-sized, easy way to start with a promise of a great vacation on the other end. Like the second that he said yes, I had this whole thing booked like within the hour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Instantly.
I was like, can't go back now. No, take back. I'm not telling you this is all fully refundable because points and miles is magic.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He doesn't need to know that part.
Nah.
Well, I am just so glad that he was able to overcome that. It is scary. I found myself, even with just a little bit of turbulence on my last flight, my international flight that we just took, I'd be like praying in my seat and like panicking just a little bit. So yeah. If he went through a significant trauma like that, I can certainly understand. But I'm so glad that he was willing to try again and overcome that. So you guys got to experience this unbelievable week together in Cancun. Not to say that all of the trips that you guys were able to do driving weren't spectacular anyway. You know that we talk on this podcast all the time about how you do not have to go and do the biggest, fanciest things. Your family does not always need to go on some big, grand international trip. Domestic trips that you can drive to are incredible and spectacular and worthy as well. But
amen.
It is fun that he did this. So let's get into it. We want to hear all about it. First off, you were able to use your Southwest Companion Pass. So what was the grand total for your flight? You said it was direct, which is awesome.
It was direct. It was direct, and it actually ended up being under 3 hours, like 2 hours and 45 minutes about. And that's incredible. So when I originally booked it, they were $19,500 each way. And I do have a Companion Pass right now. So I only paid for one of us. And then for the other person, obviously, that was free, just paying the taxes and fees for both. But because of when I booked these, they were still under the fun old rules where I could change them a few times. And so I think that I ended up coming in more around $12,000 each way, which is just
nice.
Amazing. Excellent. Like 24,000 points total to go to Cancun. Are you kidding me? The annoying part with going to Cancun is that it is technically international, even though it doesn't feel international when it's only 2+ hours away. So you are paying international taxes and fees. So the beauty of domestic flying on Southwest with the Companion Pass is that $5.60 in taxes each way. This was $48 a person outbound, and our return flight was actually $72 a person, which is very annoying to me. So I ended up paying $240 out of pocket for our flights, but at the time that I was booking them, they were about $350 a person. And right now, the same flight, which is just a few weeks later, on the same day, on a Tuesday, is $411. So without the Companion Pass and paying the cash rate at the lowest at $350, this would have been $1,400 out of pocket. And instead, I spent
$240. And then get this, guys, get this. That's all she paid for the entire trip.
Yep.
No food, no activities.
Well,
no,
I did. Okay, wait.
You did do
we
an
booked
activity.
A Viator day, but you don't have to.
You don't have to. So 248, is that what you said?
240.
Just 240, flat. And that's literally all you had to pay. You didn't pay for any food. That's everything, because it's an all-inclusive resort. That is amazing to think that you and your partner can just hop on a plane and go for a week somewhere. You can't even live at your house for $240.
No, I literally was like, this is just like our regular, this is less than our regular grocery budget. So yeah. Really, are we actually spending anything?
You're saving money by going to Cancun, people. I like it. Okay. How was your seat experience? You guys, because especially with this being such a difficult thing for him, you chose an emergency exit row, right?
Yeah. So the beauty of my current A-list status is that you don't have to really stress about when you're checking in because you have an automatic A position. And we ended up very close to the beginning of the A's for our way there. So we were able to take advantage of one of those emergency exit rows. And this one had a ton of legroom. In fact, they had already started converting this plane to the premium seating model that they're going to be doing, where you're going to have to be paying to select these extra legroom seats. So the flight attendant was showing me how the emergency exit rows, and then actually two rows behind them, she's like, these are what you can expect to see from these new extra legroom premium seating seats options once they become available. Yeah. And it was crazy. I could fully stretch my legs out and now my feet would disappear under the seat in front of me, but I wasn't bumping. My knees right. didn't hit anything. And my husband is tall. I was like, baby, you don't understand how lucky you are. Your first flight in over like 15 years and you get to stretch your legs this much. Like, that's nice. The way back, not only did we not have that, but we had one of the older planes with the really uncomfortable seats and oh, no like bummer. No foldable headrest, and my knees fully and his knees also fully were in the seat in front of us.
Back to reality.
Back oh, to reality. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you had the emergency exit row on the way there. Talk to us about arriving in Cancun, because even though it's not far away, it is another country. Anytime you're landing in another country, if you haven't been there before, it can be a little stressful just not knowing what to expect. Tell us about it. How did you get to the hotel? Yeah, give us those details.
Okay, so it is story time, and I haven't even told you this story, and this story is crazy.
I'm scared. I'm scared for you.
Okay. So first of all, let me paint you a picture of what happens when you arrive, because I did know generally from some research what it was going to be like. It is a lot more overwhelming. I wish that I had had the presence of mind to pull out my phone and film some of this, but I didn't, because I was just like trying to figure out what we were going to do. So you, from the second that you walk out of the airport into the area where all of the hotel shuttles are, all the pickup, the transports, the taxis, all the stuff, you are accosted with people trying to get you to choose their ride. And they are throwing astronomical prices at you, saying like, $1,700 MXD, which is $91, by the way. This is a 10-15 minute max ride. Okay. So that's a hard no for me. And I had done some research. Like, I'm not complete. I don't always fly by the seat of my pants. And I had read that Uber is now legal in Mexico. You can take an Uber from the airport. What I had read said the taxi and shuttle drivers will give you a little bit of a hard time. Okay.
Okay.
That meant something very different in my mind than what it was like in reality. When I think of a little bit of a hard time or will hassle you, I guess maybe in America that means something different. I don't know. Because the experience was so overwhelming. We get outside and people are coming up to us. And I said, oh, no, we're just going to order an Uber. Thank you. And we kept being told so many different things. The first thing was, Uber doesn't come here. That's illegal. You have to walk out of the airport. People were telling us it was a mile to leave the premises of the airport. They were giving us directions literally in the opposite way of where we were supposed to walk. And thankfully, like, some nice lady was like, where are you going? And we were like, the family and friends pickup area. And she's like, that's literally back the way that you just came. I mean, we were being lied to left and right. People trying to give us discounts to get, oh, you know, don't worry about an Uber. We'll do it for 1500 MXD, or, you know, like it. And at a certain point, like, it was a principal matter for me. My lovely husband would have paid any amount of money to avoid the complete chaos, anxiety, and discomfort of the experience. I am like, when I feel like people are purposefully lying, misleading, trying to take advantage, I feel angry, and I'm very like justice minded, and I have to stand on principle. Maybe it's the red hair. I don't know. Whatever. It was a terrible idea. My stubborn nature is going to get me maybe murdered one of these days.
Oh, gosh.
That's okay. Stop. What? Okay. So, anyways. We make it out to the friends and family pickup area, which is where we were told we had to go if we wanted to take an Uber. Okay. Once we get out there, there's more people claiming to be taxi drivers trying to get us into their cars, which, by the way, are not marked like taxis. They're like normal people's cars. Some of them might have a sticker slapped up. They're showing us their lanyards and telling us that, look, we're real taxis. We're official. Come down this way. We'll put you in this car down here at the end. And they're trying to charge something a little bit lower, more like $1,000. And I was like, okay, it's getting lower. Maybe we should just do this. Because by that point, I'd had two Ubers cancel, accept the ride, and then just disappear. And it's like, we're locating you a new Uber.
Oh, no.
And once we realized that we were stuck outside and couldn't get back into the like professional transport area, and then we realized that we actually think we're about to be kidnapped because this person's trying to put us in an unmarked car out here where there's basically no security, nobody really official looking, we were like, nope. Nope, we are literally standing here until an actual Uber comes. Like, that's the only option we have. So we just stopped responding to these people. And they literally started telling us that they were calling the police and that we were going to go to jail because it is illegal to be picked up by Uber. Uber is illegal here. The Uber will not come. Finally, a ride accepted. And this sweet woman showed up. And as she is pulling up and we're going towards her with our stuff, these people descend on this car. I threw my bag in the back, got in the car. They are blocking Dane from getting in the car. They are blocking the woman from getting in the car on this other side. She pushes past. Dane is like standing there and I'm like, get in the car. We have to go. And this guy will not let him physically get in the car. They say the police is coming. Like, these are just the bits I'm picking out. This is all happening in Spanish. I took Spanish in high school. I obviously know the word policía, and there's, you know, it's mixed English and Spanish. I realize that the woman is telling them that she's not an Uber and saying that we're just her friends and she's just picking up her friends. And then I started saying, yeah, we're friends. We're friends. She's just giving us a ride. Like, I was actually scared. Dane ended up pushing this man so that he could get in the car and shut the door. And they are literally slapping the car as we drive away. They tried to keep us from driving away. I don't know. Like, the police weren't actually coming because it's not actually illegal unless it was like the police that are paid off, because that's a thing. And so that was horrifying. And when we drove away, that poor woman in her very limited English was like, I'm nervous. And I was like,
I am nervous right now after
literally we did so much research, like in-depth research, when we actually were finally in the hotel and like just laying down decompressing from this. The taxis are very, very often in league with the cartel. It is literally like a mafia, and you don't go around them. You just do what they say. Uber is taking their business. So there are literally videos of people trying to get in Ubers getting actually physically assaulted. And I just feel like that could have gone way worse. And
yes, I'm glad Dane is someone who can handle this situation.
He is.
Through his career training.
I asked him why he didn't just like hop in the car immediately. And he's like, I was standing there assessing at what point this needed to get before I was going to respond physically. I didn't know if we were going to have to go there for our safety. And I was like, oh, well, I was just panicking. So I'm glad that somebody had their head on them. I had to apologize to him profusely because I'm usually really good at having that kind of stuff. Like, everything's kind of prepped when it comes to like how we're going to get where we're going to get. And I thought I had done my research, but it turns out my Googling was not enough to fully put into perspective the seriousness of that situation. So don't do what I did. If you go to Cancun, I just highly recommend that you book a transport ahead of time. If you do that, you will walk out, you will walk past all the annoying people, you will look for a sign with your name on it, and you will do that. And here's the beautiful thing, is that the Hyatt Vivid Grand Island works with Amstar directly. And Amstar is one of the transport companies, and you can book a transport for $16 per person each way. Obviously, you also need to, you know, give them a little tip, but that's fine. That's not $90 for one way plus a tip.
Okay.
What I ended up spending, by the way, what I ended up spending was, it was 360 MXD for the ride. And then I gave her the max tip that the Uber app would allow me to give her, which was 150 MXD. It would literally wouldn't let me give her any more than that. And it was almost 50% of the total of the ride that I gave her because I was so grateful. That equals about 27 USD total.
Total.
We could have gotten a transport for $16 a person plus tip. That's really not that much more. But I didn't know that because the transports that I had looked at were like fairly expensive, you know, 85, 90. I'm like, it's just 15 minutes away. We're just going to take an Uber. So anyways, guys, don't do that. Bad idea.
Well, I hope that the trip was less stressful from here on out.
Yes.
Once you actually arrived. And guys, I do think in general, the hotel areas of Cancun are relatively safe.
Very.
I mean, I can't make any promises legally, take any travel at your own risk. But I don't think you felt unsafe in any other scenario on this trip. Is that correct?
That is correct, especially the resorts. I mean, they have a guard. You can't get on the property, which is a very long, winding road down to the resort until you give them your name, your room number. They take the ID of the person driving. They take the license plate of the car. I mean, they have protocols for the property. So the property is as safe as it gets. And many, many, many people do things off property. You want to be careful that you're booking with a reputable company. I probably wouldn't recommend, like, I don't know, walking around alone. I obviously didn't do any of that, so I can't speak for sure. But caution has to be taken, like with all places. And there are things that happen in Cancun as well as other places around the world that are not safe. But you're not going to have this experience if you plan ahead with your transportation. You're not even going to know that this exists, except now you will, because I told you.
Okay. Well, give us just an overview of the Hyatt Vivid Grand Island. What kind of resort? We know it's all inclusive. What are the vibes? Is it more of an adult vibe, a family-friendly vibe? What are your initial, like, big picture overview, and then get into more details for us?
Yes, that's a great question. So first of all, it is adults only, which is half the reason why I chose it, because I love children. But do you know how nice it was to not hear one single child screaming for something? My kid doesn't scream for things. She just sasses me. But I am a household manager, guys. I work with kids every single day. It was amazing to not hear a single child for a whole week. So what I love about all the Hyatt all-inclusives is each brand has its own kind of vibe. So the Secrets brand, that's supposed to be more of like a romance vibe. The Zoetry brand is that zen wellness vibe. And then Breathless, the Breathless ones are like the party vibe. This did a very good job trying to blend the best elements from all of those. So they have offerings that are very romantic. The violinist on the deck who's playing covers of pop romance songs with his violin. And then there's like party vibes, because at night, one night there was a silent disco, or there's like salsa dancing lessons, or there's late night activities that you can attend. And then the Zen, they have, you know, there I did like a sage bundling class where I made a bundle of sage and chamomile, and that was very cool. And then they have more, there's like a full moon ceremony, and they do gastrobotany because they grow a lot of the things that they cook. So you can take a cooking class down in their eco garden. So they're just, it's like the perfect blend of everything. And you can participate if you want to. You don't have to if you don't want to. You could do no activities and lay by the pool all day. It's just so well done.
Yeah. Now, are all those activities you mentioned They're included in the all-inclusive nature of this. Yes. You do not pay extra for any of those activities.
Correct. Every single thing that I mentioned is included, and there is more. And we can touch on those later. We'll probably dig into activities a little bit. There are a few offerings here and there for things that you can pay for, such as expensive bottles of alcohol, if you want to buy that on top of the free drinks that you already have. There are various Bali beds and cabanas that you can pay to reserve. So you have excellent seating with excellent views and that kind of thing. And then there are packages like special VIP dinner packages where one night we saw, oh my gosh, it was beautiful. They had one of these pools, which is kind of tiered and layered. So this first layer, the water is only maybe 6 inches. You will kind of walk into it before you get in the other pool. And they had set up this stunning dinner table, and it was lit, and it was, there was music, and there was a couple just having dinner out there, and they had shut the whole area down. So nobody else was allowed to go over there. And I was like, oh, that must be one of those upgraded dinner options. So you can do this as budget or as bougie as you like. And of course, we tend to go with the more budget in my family. But what I love, the beauty of points and miles, is that realistically, when you only spend $240 out of pocket for a trip that would have cost thousands, you end up being like, maybe I could spring for this stunning private VIP dinner experience in the water.
Right. Of course. Yeah. Well, this property is also very affordable on points or cash right now.
Yeah. It has only been open since April of 2024. So I am here to tell you guys, the prices are not going to stay what they are now. I guarantee you it will move up a category. I guarantee you the cash rates will go up. So I only paid 20,000 points a night for this whole stay, which is incredible for an all-inclusive. I paid more than that to stay at the Manchester Grand Hyatt in San Diego. So, I mean, that's just mind-blowing. Now, this is technically in the hurricane season, which we could talk about later, but it can go up. The points price varies depending on the time of year, depending on the season. But even the cash rate for an all-inclusive is very, very, very affordable. For 6 nights, this would have been $2,263. And while I'm not ever going to spend that on accommodations, because you know I do points, that is actually a great price for two people to go to an all-inclusive for 6 nights and not pay a dime for food.
Or, oh, yeah.
You know, it really is a good, good price. So if you guys listen to this episode and you feel excited about it, I would say you better start booking now, because once the word starts to get out about this place, it's going to blow up. And they're actually working on a Dreams Grand Island right next door that hasn't opened yet. And I think that, you know, that's going to be the next new horizon. And this one's probably going to elevate. So just saying, don't sleep on it.
And if you guys are new to the scene with Hyatt points and Chase points that can be transferred to book Hyatt properties, usually we see every year, I believe it's April, could be March, but I'm pretty sure it's April. Maybe we get wind of it in March or late February. That's when we find out which Hyatt properties are changing category for the year. Sometimes properties go up a category, get a little more expensive. Sometimes they go down a category. So what the rates that it is now, you can probably count on being the same through maybe March-ish. And yes, then the property could change categories. And obviously we'll let you know when we know of any award changes that are happening.
Yes. And for my new friends who are just getting into this, the points for this stay came from my Chase Sapphire Preferred. Right now, the sign-up bonus for the Chase Sapphire Preferred is 75,000 points. We will put a link to our credit card page on our blog in the show notes so you guys can easily find that. That is one of the best beginner cards for travel hacking, for stays like this. One of these sign-up bonuses covered a large portion of these nights. I earned other points with other cards that then I just combined them all. So if you go back and listen to old episodes, you can get all of this information. If you're new and you feel overwhelmed, you can book sessions with us, or you can reach out to the Facebook group and ask questions there. Sometimes I forget when we're talking about this that we never go back to step one and say, well, we opened this card, we got these points, we transferred them to Hyatt, and then we used that to book these nights. So I just want to remind you guys that I didn't get 120,000 Chase points by spending $120,000 on a credit card. Not even close. This was just my regular bills for probably 6 months or so and a couple sign-up bonuses on a couple different Chase cards. I did not do any excess spending. It did not take me years and years to earn them. So that is the magic and the beauty of this hobby.
Absolutely. Now, for this property in particular, I know that there are some different levels of rooms when you're booking. We talked about kind of the standard point price, but you can get something that's similar to like a club access when you're staying there. Is that worth it? What's it called? Is it worth doing that?
This is a great question because I have to be honest. I was like, what do you get from club access at an all-inclusive? You already get free breakfast and everything else. So we actually had Vantage Club level that was gifted to us by the hotel, which we were incredibly grateful for. It was such a nice gift. We did reach out to them ahead of time. I told them I would be covering it for the podcast. And so they wanted me to be able to experience these things so that I could tell you guys, you know, firsthand what you were going to get if you decide to book it. And it really was extraordinary. So there's a couple of different ways to get the Vantage Club access. You could book a Vantage Club room, which is 27,000 points a night for that club access, or you can add it with cash. And it does vary in cash price throughout the year, depending on occupancy, peak season, and that kind of stuff. But typically, it's about $50 a day, and you don't actually have to buy access for every day of your stay if you don't want to. So you could just get club access for a day or two so that you can experience some of these fun extra things, and that might be nice too. But we did really enjoy it. So I'll tell you what it includes. The first and probably my favorite thing is that you get access to a special breakfast restaurant on the rooftop. Non-Vantage Club members do not get access to this restaurant for breakfast time. You can go at dinner time when it's a Japanese restaurant, but you have to be Vantage Club to eat there for breakfast. Not only was the menu fantastic, but the views are just stunning. It is the most magical place, definitely in the entire resort, to have breakfast. So that was a big one for me. You also have this really nice private check-in experience. Rather than going into kind of the lobby area where all the checkout desks are and waiting in line, you literally get taken around into this lounge where you sit down at a desk, they check you in, they make sure you have everything you need, and then in the same lounge, you can help yourself to an amazing spread of snacks and food, very much Yum. Like an actual club lounge, and you get access to the top shelf bar. And for some people, that is a massive draw. We are not big drinkers, but I did have some margaritas on this trip, and having access to expensive tequila for the margarita instead of, you know, the lower tier stuff meant that I had no headaches whatsoever this entire trip. Because it doesn't even matter if it is half a drink. I am a prone to migraines kind of a person. And I know that the more expensive alcohol that has less sugars or less processing or whatever truly does have less of a negative effect on my body. So having that access to that private bartender and that private bar, there were barely ever any lines. It was amazing. You could also go see him first thing in the morning for your latte when everybody else was lining up at the cafe for their coffee. You could go see him and he made a fire latte and you're not waiting for it. There's no line.
Is this the latte that you posted on Instagram that you put a picture, you put our podcast logo on the latte?
It is not. That was actually a coffee house party that they hosted where there was a machine that would put any picture you wanted on your drink. That
was just so cute.
It was so cute. That was one of the days that I was there. They didn't have that running all the time, but it was such a fun experience. So what I love about the lounge with the snacks is that they are literally being rotated all day long. So if you don't feel like going to be around a bunch of people to do a breakfast buffet or a lunch buffet, you can just come into the super quiet, calm, amazing lounge, and it's a lot of the same food and then some things that are a little bit better, and you can just get your plate and sit in there and eat it. One night they had a chocolate night where it was just like a buffet of all of these different chocolates and a chocolate fountain. You weren't finding this stuff anywhere else in the hotel, and that was so much fun to just know that we could pop in there anytime we wanted and just kind of snack and have access to things super easily without having to go and get seated and do all these other things that you have to do in all of the restaurants.
Yeah.
The very last thing that Vantage Club Level gives you access to is the stunning, stunning rooftop pool. This is the longest infinity pool in all of Cancun. It is super, it stretches the entire building almost, and it has 360 degree views, and it is amazing. And regular guests, that makes me sound so like snotty, regular guests, non-Vantage Club member guests cannot use the rooftop pool. It is for the Vantage Club. There are amazing pools down on the pool deck, but there's something about a rooftop infinity pool at sunset that cannot be topped.
Yeah. That sounds so lovely. Well, it seems like if the Vantage Club is possible with the amount of points that someone has, it definitely sounds worth it for those upgraded experiences. So that's good to know. If you're booking, look for the Vantage Club options.
Yeah. Or if you want to do it in cash, again, you didn't spend anything for your stay. You didn't spend anything for your flights except for some taxes and fees. Maybe it's a little bit of a cash splurge you want to make.
Yeah, $50 a day, especially if you are someone who drinks, who wants the top tier alcohol, that seems like a steal to have that private rooftop pool and all that. I don't even drink, but I can definitely see the value there for someone who does. Like, I mean, $50 a day would be nothing compared to buying several drinks of top tier alcohol.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, this is a random question, but it's very important because when I go on a vacation like this, I want good sleep because this is meant to be a relaxing week. If you mentioned some of the nighttime activities, you mentioned a silent disco, which wouldn't be too loud, but I know places like this sometimes have DJs, sometimes have louder activities. So is there a place, like if someone is thinking about, I go to bed early, I wake up early, that's just how I'm wired. So I'm not staying up to 2 a.m. partying. I don't want to be kept up by loud music. Does it matter where my room is at the resort? Like, should I take that into consideration when visiting this resort?
Yes, you guys, yes, you should take that into consideration. Now, in all fairness, I did not ask these questions when I was booking or when we were checking in. I did not say, hey, I'm ancient and like to be in bed at 9 because I get up at 6 on vacation because something's wrong with me. So this is my tip for you. You can absolutely go and enjoy this resort as an early bedtime person, but you're going to want to book the golf course view side. And it says it straight in the name when you're booking. It either says Bay View or Golf Course View. And I know that people are listening to this thinking, I don't want to look at the golf course over the bay. Well, actually, it's a beautiful view and the ocean is right on the other side of the golf course. So there's nothing wrong with the view whatsoever, but that is the quiet side of the resort because on the bay side, you are also overlooking the pools and the pool deck, and that is where all of the nighttime entertainment takes place. So we were exhausted, obviously, from our first day of traveling and almost dying at the airport. So we went to bed so early. And at 9:30, I wake to the sound of drums that I can hear over my sound machine. And you guys know that even if I'm covering something, and even if this property was so kind to give us these extra experiences so that I could tell you guys about them, I am never, ever going to sugarcoat things. I'm going to give you the full honest truth every single time. So when I wake to the sound of drums, I'm like, uh-oh, this whole trip's going to be a nightmare. But actually, my entire perspective was shifted when I stepped out onto our balcony, because these rooms have balconies, guys. It's very nice. And I look down and I see indigenous performers in like full, I'm assuming Mayan regalia or something to that effect, and like fire performers, and they're dancing to this super cool like flute and drum music. I was like, okay, this is actually so awesome. I wish
I saw your video of that. It was really cool.
It was really cool. I wished that I was like not in my pajamas and that I was like not so exhausted. I would have thrown on clothes really fast and gone downstairs just to see it like at eye level. But honestly, being able to watch things from the balcony was half the fun. We had a lot of fun doing that over the course of the week. Nighttime activity noise, I never noticed it past about 11, maybe 11:30. So it is not running till 2 a.m., which I really, really, really appreciate. And to be honest, our sound machine really did do a good job covering pretty much everything. It was mostly that first night and those very intense drums and high-pitched flute that was cutting straight through the sound machine. So, but like I said, the golf course side does not overlook the pool in the nighttime. So you can still go here and have a really good time and go to bed early and wake up early if that's what you want. But also, if you are a late night person, there is something every single night, and it's all so different and so fun. It's not just like a DJ go party, woo, let's all get wasted. It's so much more. There's some great cultural things. There was a salsa dancing night. Like I said, there was the silent disco. Like, they really make it very, very fun. And I will say that the clientele at this resort does skew a bit younger. But okay. I did see people like my parents' age there, just not as many. It does seem like they are trying to cater more to the like 20s through 40s crowd, whereas I know some all-inclusives really have like a lot of seniors there. I can't personally picture my mom and dad at this particular resort. I just can't picture it. Right. I don't know what it is. There's nothing wrong with it. It was incredible. But it does just seem to have a little bit of a young, like, vibrant vibe to it. So, that's just something to keep in mind. Yeah.
Okay. Another thing that's really important to know about this property that we need to address that could play into the price being a lot more affordable. Very similar to a hotel property that I love, the Hyatt Regency Coconut Point in near Fort Myers, Florida. The Hyatt Vivid Grand Island is not an oceanfront property. It does have access to a private beach.
Yes.
So explain that a little bit, because I think that's important. Most people, when they think an all-inclusive resort in Cancun, they immediately think oceanfront access. But why? Tell us, give us a pitch for why this is a wonderful property and that shouldn't matter to you.
Okay. I had so many of you messaging me saying, I wanted to book that place. I saw it, but it doesn't it's not oceanfront. So I really didn't want to. I am here to tell you that it does not matter. You will not even notice. At least I didn't. I thought maybe that was going to make me a little sad too, that I couldn't just plop out and walk on the beach anytime I wanted. There is so much to do, so many gorgeous places to lay that never even occurred to me while I was there, even though I had thought it ahead of time. And anytime that you want to go out to the ocean between the hours of like 9 and 6, you could just head down and hop yourself on a beach shuttle, and 5 minutes later, you will be at the most stunning beach club. It's absolutely gorgeous. There is not a bad seat in the entire place. Like, all of the seats are beautiful and comfy with umbrellas. They're tiered downward, so everything has a view of the ocean. There's infinity pools at the beach club. So if you don't want to get in the ocean, you can get in the infinity pool and look at the ocean. And there's an incredible restaurant and bar on site. You still get unlimited all-inclusive food and beverage. It's called the Enea Beach Club, and it is literally the quickest little shuttle ride. You don't have to book your shuttle in advance. They run every 10 to 15 minutes, it seemed like, so it's super easy to catch one. We did 2 days at the beach club. Now, the bummer is that it is hurricane season, which means wind, currents, all that kind of stuff. I actually wasn't able to swim in the ocean because the red flag was up. But that has to do with time of year. They do not let people in the water when there are dangerous currents. And then the other thing is that you have to do your research on seaweed season, because this time of year is seaweed season all over that part of the coast. And so I knew there was going to be seaweed, and there was, but it was nothing compared to some of the videos that I've seen where it looks like poop water. Like, the water was gorgeous. The water had very little seaweed in it. The beach had some, but you could truly just step over it and get to the rest of the beach and get in the water. I put my feet in the water. It was as much as I was able to do. It did not destroy the magic at all. But you do need to do your research, because if you don't want seaweed and dangerous currents, you probably want to go during the peak season, which is the more expensive time of the season, and you will pay more. That's just how that goes.
Well, you know me. I'm not a huge beach person anyway. So being able to lay near the beach but not actually in it, that sounds great. I love the beach club. I love being at a pool where I can see the ocean without actually having to be in the ocean. So to me, this sounds like a win-win. It's cheaper resort and still fabulous. So I love that.
Yeah.
Now, another thing that these resorts sometimes, I don't know if I would say a bad rap, but sometimes these properties definitely have a reputation for they're going to ask you about a timeshare. And we've learned on this podcast that that can be actually very lucrative if you are willing and able to say no, if you're truly not interested. You can get some really sweet deals from listening to timeshare presentations. So was that a possibility? Did they offer you that?
Yeah, so it actually caught me off guard a little bit. I'm going to be fully honest, because after we checked in with our concierge, another gentleman came to escort us and said that he was going to give us a little tour. And it turned out that he was the person responsible for trying to sign us up for the timeshare pitch. And I have to say, immediately after arriving, after everything we went through at the airport, that did catch me off guard. But personally, I am not offended by someone trying to get me to do a timeshare pitch. I begged my husband to do it with me, and he did not want to, so we did not. But I know that some people would maybe be a little off put. So knowing going in that that's going to happen and be offered is a good idea. But what they offered us was, it would have been the following morning. They would have transported us to a nearby Hyatt all-inclusive, and they would have fed us breakfast there, and there was a 90-minute pitch. And in exchange for that, we would have gotten 3 nights at one of a number of their all-inclusive properties to use at a later date, and a $200 resort credit to use on property during our stay, which means we could have used it at the gift shop or at, you know, some of the top tier alcohol or a massage or those kinds of things. So I honestly felt that that would have been very, very worth it, mostly for the 3 free all-inclusive nights at some of these other brands.
Oh, yeah.
I would have done it in a heartbeat, but they don't let you go alone when you're married.
That's right.
Both of you. So we did not. And okay. It's okay.
It is good to know, though, that that will probably, someone will approach you about that. So be prepared ahead of time, knowing either no, you're going to shut it down hard, or you're open to it. You want the free prize at the end. Mm-hmm. It's good to know. Okay, let's get into the resort a little bit more. What were your favorite restaurants? Because at these properties, there's a ton of restaurants. And did you think the food was high quality? Because sometimes people say all-inclusives don't have the best food. So how was the food here?
I was blown away, because I went into it thinking all-inclusives, pretty much always people say the food is mid unless you're spending
massive. Is mid. Look That's at you, middle schooler.
Lingo. Yeah, you caught that. So I was blown away. There is a Japanese restaurant, a Mediterranean restaurant, an Italian restaurant, a French restaurant, and then there's the main buffet restaurant, the international restaurant that has basically some of everything. And then sometimes in the evenings, they would open this special taco truck that had literally life-changing tacos. That's not open all the time. And then throughout the day, you could get room service, you could get food poolside, you could get ceviche at a little ceviche place on the pool deck. I mean, there's always food going, and I did not really have anything that I did not like. I have to say there were a couple times where, you know, there was a steak that I was like, this is fine. And there was a chicken, like basically if you're getting anything that's just like meat based and not like cooked into other stuff, I noticed that it was just fine. But okay. I really wasn't mostly doing that. I was mostly getting like the beef lasagna, the wood-fired pizza, the Japanese food, and like these amazing short ribs. The short ribs were incredible, or tacos or whatever. And that was all extraordinary. I was so surprised at how good it was. I was like, this doesn't feel right for the price that we are paying to be here.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds excellent. Was it hard to get reservations? Did you need reservations at the restaurants?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. So when you get there, or even ahead of time if you want, you're going to download the Hyatt All-Inclusive app. This app is going to be your guidebook for your entire trip. You're going to be able to see what activities are going on, what restaurants are open when, if you want to sign up for a yoga class or whatever. It is all in the app, which is so helpful. And you are going to need reservations for Japanese, Mediterranean, Italian, and French. You do have to make a reservation. For the other things, the taco truck, the main international restaurant, you can just show up and they'll seat you. But the reservations don't open for the day until 9 a.m. So in the morning, you are making reservations for the evening. And I noticed that specifically the Italian and the Japanese restaurant reservations went very, very, very quickly. Luckily, our old people, we like to eat dinner at 6 p.m. Everyone else at the resort seems to really like to eat dinner at 8 or 9 p.m.
Oh, so, stop. I was thinking 6 p.m. sounds late.
No. So all of those 8 or 9 reservations would always be gone so fast. There would be like one spot left at 6. And I'm like, that's me.
That's me.
And I was perfectly, perfectly happy with this. It is important to note that basically everywhere you go to eat is more of a sit down vibe. So like they're going to take you to a table and you're going to place an order. Or if you're in the buffet restaurant, they're going to take you to the table. They will bring you drinks. They'll come back to check on you. So there isn't a lot of like, I'm going to take this food to my room, but there is room service and it is included if you want to get food to your room.
Yeah. Okay. My next question is this. I am the kind of person, when you initially told me you were going there for 6 nights, I thought, awesome, that's incredible. Also, oh, that might be too long. I wonder if I would be bored. Because, you know, I'm a person who just went through 4 countries in about the same amount of time. Because we fly and we're constantly doing stuff and going 20,000 steps a day. I don't do still well. Mm-hmm. So I know that this resort would be incredible for people who want to chill and relax. What about people like me who don't do chill very well? Is there enough for me to do?
I was blown away by the amount of offerings every single day for free. Blown away. There is a, in the area where you go to get on the elevators, they have it on a screen there, all of the daily activities. I wanted to say that there's at least like 10 things a day going on. There was a pottery class. I already mentioned the gastrobotany class. There are fitness classes. There's aqua cycling. So it's like Peloton bikes, except they're in the water. In the water.
That is so cool. I did see your Instagram video of people working, or maybe you just texted it to me, of people doing like water aerobics.
Yes.
But every single person was under the age of 40, and it looked like so much fun. I have done water aerobics a number of times in my life with, you know, a much older crowd. So it looked so fun.
Yeah, they did those classes every day. And even if you don't want to participate, they are amazing to just sit there and watch. There were daily sports activities. There was volleyball. There was pickleball. And they organized these. So they, you know, like you get people together and you do them. You can do sunrise and sunset yoga. You can, there was so much. I couldn't even begin to describe to you how many offerings there are. And then on top of that, they partner with a nearby place called Aqua World. And they will transport you there, and your stay at the resort covers all of the non-motorized water sports. So you can paddleboard or you can kayak, and that's all included. You do have to pay what's called a dock fee, and that's $15 a person, but you know, you can, and you can stay there, you know, as long as you want. You can also upgrade to the motorized offerings. I think they've got like parasailing and like jet skiing and snorkeling. Like there are things that you can book. And if you want to do those, there's always somebody sitting at a table in the lobby area. You can sit down, you can see what they offer, you can book them right there through that if you want to spend more money. But all these other things that I was mentioning are free. There's a million free things to do every single day. I just did a high-paced European trip where every single minute was go, go, go. I loved my slow morning sitting next to the pool with my coffee and my book. I thought I could not have dreamed up a better, my body needed it.
Yes, yes.
So it was amazing, but that's what's so cool about this. It's like choose your own adventure. You can piece together how much chill you want and how much activity you want. And if you want it, it's there and it's included and it's so well done. And the staff is so nice. They're all amazing.
I love to hear that. Okay. Even with all these activities, though, you guys did choose to do one offsite excursion that you booked through Viator with, you know, going through Rakuten so that you earn maximum cash back. You guys went to Extreme Adventuring Cancun. You pushed yourself to your limits because I know that you did some zip lining, which is not in your like comfort zone. So tell us a little bit about that experience.
This was a great experience. And I booked it through on Rakuten, through Viator. It was $150 total. I said per person. That is not correct. It was $150 total for the entire experience. And it included a tequila tasting, which was actually fascinating. I learned so much. It's weird that they give you tequila before you drive an ATV, but whatever.
Oh, goodness. That is a choice. That is an interesting
choice.
You
go to the cenote first, so you got time for it to wear off a little bit. But the second thing is a cenote, which if you don't know what that is, it's like a spring-fed hole in the middle of the jungle that's full of this beautiful blue water. The Mayan people believed that it had all these spiritual healing properties. It's like a swimming hole and it's absolutely stunning. And you can cliff jump or zip line into that and then let go. So you like are literally holding on to this thing. They push you backwards down a line and then they say drop and you let go and drop really far. So scared. I was so scared. There are pictures of me doing that. Or you can just walk in down the steps and get in the water. They do make you wear life jackets. Then you do ATVing, and it's two very long loops around a track that runs through the jungle, and that's a lot of fun. You get super dirty, so just be prepared. Don't wear anything nice, obviously. And then you do zip lining, and it's four zip lines. you know, they take some time. They're pretty long and they were a lot of fun. And then at the end, they give you a couple of tacos, which were just fine, but it's really appreciated at the end of so much activity.
Adventure.
And they picked us up at the Hyatt Vivid Grand Island and they took us back. It was about an hour of transport each way because they stop and pick up other people. So it was a pretty long and exhausting day. But for $75 a person to do all of that and have the transport included, it was just really fun to get off the property and just do some of that adventuring kind of stuff. Highly, highly recommend. Our guide's name was Vinny, and he was great. His energy was fantastic.
Beautiful. And you got photos, professional photos there too, right?
So the whole time they have a professional photographer taking pictures of you because for obvious reasons. It's pretty hard to get pictures of yourselves. You can't take your phone like on the zip line. You can't take your phone on the ATVs. You can actually take it in the cenote. And luckily, I had the presence of mind to bring a waterproof pouch for my phone. So I actually had it. I was wearing it when I dropped into the cenote and I had it recording, which was kind of fun. So at the end, they bring you your gorgeous, really well done photos, and they offer to sell them to you. And naturally, being a person who puts travel content online, I sprung for that. It was very expensive and actually kind of was a lot of money. Okay, guys, it was about 75 pictures and they're all great, and it was $75. I asked how much it would be just to buy one. And he said $19.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a business expense because
it's
you're a travel
business
podcast.
Expense. I just knew I was going to want to put these online. I can't talk to you guys about these and not show you the picture of me dropping into the cenote, which was really the only one that I wanted to buy. But also, these memories are very sweet. Like, we rode a tandem ATV, and that picture of me, like, riding behind him on the ATV is so sweet. And I wanted it. I wanted my child to show her children that picture someday. So
aww,
I was like,
I
you know what?
That.
And it's another example of an expense I'm okay to spring for because this whole trip was $240 out of pocket.
Yeah, so affordable. I am always a proponent of, even though we're a budget podcast, photos are just worth it. To me, I love pictures. I love gifting people pictures because I think it's just powerful being able to look back on these memories later on. So you're never going to hear me scoff at you paying for pictures because I think that's worth it. Okay, as we're wrapping up, give us some closing advice. If someone's planning this trip, what are some things they need to pack or any last minute tips to make their trip run really smoothly?
Yeah, guys, these are like my rapid fire tips, I think, is how I'm going to do this for you. The first thing that I'm going to say, because if I don't, I'll forget. If you book Vantage Club, you will have the opportunity to work with the concierge Gustavo, and you will not regret it. I hope that you book Vantage Club, and I hope that Gustavo is the person that you interact with. He was such a joy coming down every single morning and seeing his smiling face, greeting me by name, asking how everything was, helping me if I had questions. He was the most delightful human. And I was actually so sad to say goodbye to Gustavo at the end of the trip. I was like, what am I going to do without a Gustavo in my house to answer all my questions and help me with things? I don't even know. So that's the first thing I wanted to say. And so now, rapid fire. I did a checked bag because I wanted to bring full-size sunscreen because I did not want to die from sunburn. I would recommend that because if you're thinking that you're going to get there and run out of your travel-size sunscreen and buy it in the resort, gift shop, it's a lot, guys. It's a lot. My husband forgot sunglasses, and we bought a pair of sunglasses from the gift store for $42. That literally we ended up finding online. You could buy them from a wholesaler for like 20 pairs for $12.
Oh, goodness. Painful. Painful. But we've all made that mistake. I made that mistake recently.
Forgot sweatshirts
on our trip. Spent $150 on tourist sweatshirts for the whole family.
Yes.
So these are the kind of things it's good to remind people.
Do not forget your sunglasses. Right. That's why I'm doing this. These are important. I would bring the waterproof phone cases, especially if you're planning on doing any of the excursions off property. You will really want to have that. My tipping advice, we brought $200 in ones and fives, and that was perfect for the amount of times that I was there. So I guess technically we spent $440 out of pocket. I knew that I wanted to tip all of these people that were helping us well. You don't have to. We saw tons of people not tipping ever, and that's up to you. But I just believe it's the right thing to do. And so that's what we did. Every time someone made us a drink, we gave them a dollar. If someone was helping us, like a server at a table for a restaurant, we left $5. And that is completely adequate. They are so grateful. And then I saved a big chunk for a housekeeper at the end, because they come in every single day if you want them to, and make your bed and straighten up. And then I also made sure I had some set aside for tipping our transportation drivers. If you are a massive drinker and you're going to drink a bazillion drinks a day, 200 is probably not going to cover you if you want a tip for every single drink that you buy. So this is up to your discretion. This is just what we chose to do. And it was a perfectly adequate amount of money. We went ahead and took our own bags to the room to save on tips for that. Because, you know, I'm not going to let you carry my bag up to the room and then not give you money, because that would be rude. So we said, oh, no, thank you. We'll get our own bags. Like, those kinds of things are optional, guys. You can totally put your own bags on the elevator. So last pro tips. There is something called a visit tax that you are supposedly supposed to pay when you leave Mexico. They say that everybody has to pay it. And all the research I did confirmed that that was the case. You can pay it online. For two people, it was 264 MXD. And you have to make sure that you go to the visit tax official website. Do not click on any of the sponsored websites that are people trying. In fact, I'll put the real link in the show notes, because you can pay that ahead of time. I highly recommend doing it while you're still at your hotel and have Wi-Fi connection, because I waited till we got to the airport and had a really hard time. It took a long time to go through. There is a booth at the airport where they're going to say, oh, we can do it for you. It's the same price as doing it online yourself. No, it's not. It's double. It's literally double.
Oh, no. Okay.
It's not a scam, but it is double. But there are scammy websites that try to get you to do that. So the weirdest thing about that tax is that nobody asks for verification whatsoever. When we got upstairs and went through security, I literally showed my phone to the lady and I said, who am I supposed to show this to? And she's like, nobody. And I said, but we do have to pay it. And she said, yes, you do have to pay it. So I just paid this. Yeah. How do you guys know I paid it? Nobody else is showing you. I don't understand. So if somebody knows any more about this as like an expert or from Mexico or has some insight, please, 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 please tell me what's up with this tax. It's very weird.
But you didn't pay it when you came. You paid it just before you leave, an exit
mm-hmm.
tax.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I wondered the same thing when we went to the UK, because, you know, we did that online ahead of time.
Yes.
To pay before we went to the UK for a thing, ETA.
Yes.
Pay it for each person that's traveling with you. And then when we were there, I thought, nobody ever looked at that. And then I wondered, is it attached to my passport? Like, can they see that I paid it when I come through customs or something?
Yeah.
I don't know how these things work, but we always want to tell you to do the right thing.
Yes.
Pay the tax that you owe to whoever you owe it. But it's great to know that it can be a little scammy. So make sure you go through the proper channel.
100%. And being aware of it ahead of time instead of finding out on your last day will make you less stressed out for sure. The very last thing that I will say about this resort, they do a very, very good job being really eco-conscious. There are not carry-out boxes. There's only one option for like a paper to-go cup for a hot coffee in the morning, and it's a small one. There are no straws anywhere. You can buy a reusable straw in the gift shop, but it's very tall, and most of the drink glasses are short. So if you have this tall metal straw, it's regularly taking dives out of your cup. Because I bought one because I am a straw person. So if you want to maybe bring a shorter reusable straw with you from home, it would not be a bad idea. And just be prepared that it does, you know, I think a lot of people would want to like go to the buffet and then if they have leftovers, take them to go. In all the time I was there, I asked if there was a way to wrap it up and take it back to my room one time. And this poor man who we gave a massive tip to must have run to the other side of the resort. And he did in fact show up with what clearly was like a compostable to-go box. That was the one to-go box I saw in our entire trip. Even when they bring you poolside food, it's actually these like plastic coverings, containers, and then they bring you like real silverware, real plates. Everything's getting washed and reused. And I really do appreciate that because a lot of these resorts have been pumping out a lot of trash that pretty much all ends up in the ocean or just destroying our environment. So I do appreciate that. And that's another highlight. So guys, all this to say, 10 out of 10 experience, 100%, I would go back. And that is a lot. I feel like that's high praise because there are so many all-inclusives in Cancun that I want to try that the idea that I would repeat one seems kind of crazy, but I would. This experience was too good for me to want to mess around with potentially going somewhere else and not having as good of an experience. I also wanted to give a little bit of a shout out to Nicolette, who was my poolside buddy from New York that kept me company while Dane slept in the mornings because he really had a hard time adjusting from his night shift sleeping schedule.
Oh, yeah.
So she was amazing. Loved her. Loved making a vacation buddy friend. So anyways, guys, book this trip. Book it.
It sounds incredible. I am a little terrified of the Cancun airport now. But other than that, the Hyatt Vivid Grand Island definitely sounds worthy. It even sounds like, because it's so affordable, something that I could spur of the moment be like, if I could find childcare now, you know, big ask because we don't have grandparents nearby. But if I could find childcare, it could be something that I'd be like, let's go this weekend.
Yes.
You know, it's a very good spur of the moment place to go relax, get away, and just have a great time without any guilt over it being too overpriced or expensive or extravagant. Very affordable getaway.
100%. And you don't have to do 6+ nights. Did I ever want to leave? No. I didn't. I was very sad to go. But I think a long weekend, even 3 nights, even honestly 2 nights, you could really make the most of every second, eat some really, really, really good food. If you're only 2 nights and you're only picking 2 restaurants, go Japanese and Italian. That is what I will tell you.
Okay, good to know. All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Check out our show notes for any links that we mentioned in this episode. You can go to our website where we have a blog that talks about a lot of our episodes, helpful tools for travel, resources. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, all the places. We are so thankful for you, and we hope to see you next time.
Bye, guys.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new travel rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com and we would be happy to walk you through a free card consultation. That's also a great place to send us all of your comments and questions. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.